Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning. It is 4 minutes past the hour. It is Monday, June 18th. The sun is rising. The tomb is empty. And that, as always, is very good news. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by Matt Reynolds on the board this morning. Paul Perreault, as always, doing the news and helping us set up this show. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God makes all things beautiful in his time. And it's one of the messages that whatever else God is up to, he is always and continuing to, at all times, make things beautiful on behalf of the beauty and wonder of his creation. And I think it's such a timely and important message these days with some of the difficult headlines of the world. And even as at the end of last hour, Adam Carrington talked a little bit about the rise in suicide rates and what we're seeing. I think they're up 25%. We're actually going to talk with Ron Hutchcraft in just a minute about some of the social dynamics going on with that and what might be contributing to that rise. It's a message we need to hear for our young people in particular. I'm in the classroom a lot, and one of the things I've observed over this last decade is that there gets to be this frantic and increasing pace and uncertainty, people not being seen and loved in the same way that they might have been in the past. And so there gets to be this kind of hopelessness, and especially if mistakes are made in their lives. And we are doing some scripture study this past Saturday with some friends and family, and somebody brought up something, and Matt, I've never heard of this before. I'm certain that I don't know how to pronounce it, but there is this Japanese form of pottery. It's called kintsukuri, I believe, but it's a special form of pottery in which when the pottery piece is broken, that the potter will come back and begin to repair that pottery with gold or silver lacquer, and that after the brokenness of the pottery, it comes back even more beautiful than before after you bring this lining into that, the gold and the silver. And I think it's a powerful message that even in the brokenness of our lives, that there is always hope and there's always future, and God is always making things beautiful in his time. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about these things with Ron Hutchcraft as well. Eight minutes past the top of the hour, and we are joined now on the line by Ron Hutchcraft of Hutchcraft Ministries here, doing ministry. I love the first line of the ministry here, Ron, where it says that it's all about spiritual rescue. So good morning, and tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, good morning, Peter. Well, you know, I'm so glad to be a part of the network there with our radio program, A Word With You, that's on daily. And our ministry really is about people who don't know our Jesus, and to give them a chance to put Jesus within their reach. We do that by way of all kinds of websites and videos that reach around the world. And A Word With You is on about 1,200 outlets across this country. I'm very grateful for that. And God's actually put it in Mandarin. I'm very fluent in Mandarin now, believe it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's only about 3,000 characters you'd have to learn, Ron, in maybe about 6 months to get fluent, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I'm a character anyway. And then we got three. There's Spanish and Hindi. And so, praise the Lord, we're able to be in the four most spoken languages in the world with the good news of Jesus. And we just want people to understand how very personal and how very real and how very life-changing what happened on the cross and what happened at an empty tomb can be for them in their life. And a very important part of my heart is a very important part of the people who are in your region there, and that's Native Americans.
Yeah, and I know there's the Warrior Conference, and you do a lot of work within the indigenous communities of North America. And Even when from I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, one of the themes that was often part of the Native American community was the sort of theme of hopelessness, of alcoholism, of a lack of future. And that seems to be spreading out now even further into our society in terms of hopelessness. And we see the rise of suicide rates. So walk us through what you're noticing in the ministry that you have to the indigenous people of our continent and what you're seeing and what kind of hope you can offer.
Well, and you know what's more important, the ministry really is a ministry that young Native Americans are having to their own people. And I just get to be along for the ride with, the movie The Incredibles is out right now, blowing up the top off the records.
Yeah, I understand there was a movie out on something like that. I barely even hit my radar, Ron.
There you go. Well, you're a superhero yourself, so why would you need to go to a movie?
Kids, that's how they refer to me when they get up. Yeah, you know, and I make them do any number of superhero names. I'm trying them on right now, Ron.
It's good. I wish I could see your cape. So the exciting thing is that I get to hang out with some real Incredibles, and they are Native American young people who have lived that very hopelessness that you're talking about, Peter, but who now are able to tell about what a Savior named Jesus has done to change their life and give them a hope that has changed everything. Now, something that a lot of your listeners may not realize, and I think people that care tend to listen to a station like this, and I know this is something we all need to know. You know, there's been a big focus on suicide, and all of a sudden in our culture here last couple of weeks, because of a couple of celebrity deaths within about 48 hours of each other, and then a survey coming out from the Center for Disease Control saying that suicide in the last 15 years in America is up 25%.
It's terribly troubling. Terribly troubling to see those numbers.
Oh, it really is that here are people that God created by his own hand, his workmanship, and who he thought were worth paying for with the life of his own son, who are deciding to end their own life because the pain has become so great. Well, this thing that kind of burst into our headlines and all, we're like, oh, wow, what's going on, is an everyday life among Native Americans. This is my own daughter-in-law is Navajo. Just in her own family, she has lost one brother and two nephews, all ended their own life in one family. When I did a blog and I did a Facebook Live on just this past week on why to choose living instead of when you feel like leaving, we had just tens and tens of thousands of people who have checked that out. But one Native lady got on right away and she said, one niece, two nephews, gone to suicide.
Wow.
This is, and you know, you mentioned our conference. In just a couple of weeks, we'll have Warrior Leadership Summit, which is a unique, one-of-a-kind discipleship conference for Native American young people exclusively. And I can't wait to be there. In all my years of ministry, I've never seen God work so powerfully as he does among Native American young people at this conference. Well, a couple of years ago when I was speaking, I just said, guys, you guys know you live, the suicide thing has got names for you and people that you've lost. Tell me, how many of you, if you have either considered suicide seriously yourself, attempted it, or lost somebody you loved to suicide, would you put your hand up? Almost every hand, hundreds and hundreds of Native young people went up in the room. There's no youth conference in America where that would happen. So this is part of what's happened in our overall culture is just a hint of the pain that Native Americans feel from, all that they have lost historically, all they've lost personally, and there is what I call serial grieving among Native Americans. Mm. And here's a stunning thing. Our team, called On Eagle's Wings, is we've been on about 100 reservations and reserves with this a group of young people from about 25 different tribes who each summer go out and they go to their people who, by the way, have believed for many, many years that Jesus is the white man's God. There's been the 400 years of mission activity among Native Americans to introduce them to Jesus. 4% know Christ, only 4% after 400 years. This lie that Jesus is the white man's God, they come in and they tell about a Jesus who happened to be, by the way, a brown-skinned man. He didn't look like me.
Right, right, exactly.
He was a brown-skinned Mediterranean Jew. He was from a tribe. He was a tribal man. He lived on land that others had occupied. He was, this is beginning to sound familiar, it came from a place that nobody thought anything good would come out of, Nazareth. He was poor. He was homeless. He died a violent death. And they tell about this Jesus whose life sounds so much like that of Native Americans. And when they tell their hope stories, Peter, you can hear a pin drop around a reservation basketball court. And we just have so many invitations and places to go with this team, and we can't go to them all. But God has led us actually to your region and to reservations through the upper Midwest and Great Plains this year. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because in your area particularly, the suicide rate among Native Americans, as big as it is among the general population in America, is 5 to 7 times that of any other group in the country.
But
so it's a major crisis among your young people right there. And I'm calling God's people to pray for a team that is going to be bringing the hope of Jesus, who they have found is not the white man's God, but the God who so loved the world, to their people this summer. And in fact, there's a website where you can connect with all of this.
Yeah, give us that as we head to break here. Give us the website, Ron.
Yeah, okay. It's hopefornativeamerica.com. Hope, which is a great name for it. This is what this is all about. Hopefornativeamerica.com.
I love it. We're talking with Ron Hutchcraft. And Ron, when we come back from a short break, I'd like to ask you about when it becomes so pervasive, the suicide, and just even an option for young people's lives, how do we begin to stand in the gap of that and turn the direction of the momentum of that? So we'll take a short break and we'll come back with more from Ron Hutchcraft. It's 18 minutes past the hour, and it's Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and we are joined this morning by Ron Hutchcraft of Hutchcraft Ministries, doing a lot of work of spiritual rescue, reaching the least and the lost and the often forgotten among us. And Ron, before break, we are just talking about this troubling increase in the rate of suicide in our nation at large, obviously much higher, as you've noted, among some of our Native American population as well. And I find that when these things become a possibility, just an option to deal with hopelessness, to deal with the confusion and the pain that we have, that they kind of can take on a momentum of their own. There gets to be almost this copycat reality, and the suicide rates continue to rise. What do you see? What can we do to help sort of stand in the gap and break that momentum? Because we can feel powerless in the face of this.
You know, Peter, I think I'm glad you asked. We need to be talking about this, because what's happened is that the suicide surge that is taking place in our country has kind of awakened us to something we'd rather not be talking about. I mean, we could have a lot more fun things to talk about than this morning, but it is a reminder that we are surrounded by broken, hurting, desperate people hiding behind a smiling facade. And if we understand, first of all, why we are where we are, if you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, it is no accident you live where you live, or you work where you work, or you recreate where you recreate, or you are involved in the things you're involved in. Because Jesus has assigned you to be his lifeguard on your stretch of beach. You're his chosen ambassador. You know, say, well, he's got to have somebody else. Well, don't argue with him. He put you there. And therefore, we need to do some things that can help people deal with the hurt before they get to the point of saying, I'm just going to leave. And that is, first of all, to say, I want to be, Lord, a safe person. I want to be the person people feel safe with. How will they feel safe with you? They'll feel safe with you if, first of all, you're vulnerable about your own life. Many people who end their own life, people will go, I had no idea. It's because they were stuffing their pain. They were stuffing their pain because maybe they felt there was no safe place to unstuff it and let it out. But if we are people who are willing to talk about our own battles, about the difference our Jesus makes, not preaching, but telling our own hope story, everybody who knows Jesus has a hope story, just like these young people who go to these reservations, our Native American young people. They know they're the person who has to reach their tribe, They're the best messengers. Well, you're in a tribe of some kind. You're in an occupational tribe or a generational tribe or a recreational tribe, and you're there by on divine assignment to be the person who listens, who is honest, who is transparent, and you give other people permission to be transparent when you are as well. And to begin to pray by name for people around you and say, Lord, I want to be their safe person. I want to be the face of Jesus, the voice of Jesus, the hands of Jesus in their life. Because I'll tell you what, God's word tells us this about Jesus, and somebody needs to hear this morning. It says of Jesus, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. My wife was gone suddenly almost exactly 2 years ago.
Mm.
And this is my wedding anniversary.
Mm.
But she's not here to celebrate. She's celebrating something much bigger and better in heaven right now. But I can tell you that this hope is truly an anchor for the soul. And as deep as the hurt is and as deep as the grief is, if you will reach out and throw open a hurting, breaking heart to Jesus, he will keep his promise that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I can say in three words, this anchor holds. No other one does. This anchor holds. And I just want to say, Peter, that what breaks my heart with this suicide thing is the names of so many Native American young people. We have been there when they have been buried. These are real people for me. And these deaths that don't have to happen, but this silent tragedy on reservations and in Native communities. And I ask God's people to pray and find out how to pray. I would encourage you to go to hopefornativeamerica.com. You won't see much of me. You will hear from Native American young people telling their own story of both the hurt but the hope that they have found in Jesus Christ. It's hopefornativeamerica.com because they need your help and your prayer as they go to some reservations and reserves this summer. Actually, that are right really within, maybe miles of you as you listen to this program.
Ron, we just have a couple minutes left. That's a great, great helpful advice. I love that phrase, the anchor holds. Sometimes we sing that song in churches, Christ alone, cornerstone, and my anchor holds within the veil and the difficulties of this life, just knowing there's a future that awaits. So, again, in our remaining couple minutes, if you can just give us a sense of if people have been touched deeply and personally by the tragedy of suicide, how do you help in the aftermath of these situations?
That's the worst possible way to lose someone, obviously.
Yeah.
And again, I staked everything on that promise. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, but you need to open up your heart and let him go deeper into your heart and soul than ever before. He is able to bring comfort to places in your heart and your soul where no one else can go. Unstuff that pain, and you've got to talk about it. It's very possible the person you lost made the mistake of not letting that pain out. It is not good for man to be alone, it says at the creation of man in the Bible. And so be sure that you are letting it out, you are sharing it, and grieve your grief. But grieve your grief with somebody who you can trust and you can feel safe with, who can help you walk through it. And you'd be surprised how many people there are like you if you will reach out to them. And then also, what God wants to do is turn your hurt into hope for other hurting people. The Bible says the comfort we have been comforted with, that when the God of all comfort and the Father of all compassion comforts us in all our troubles, it says that is so that we will be able to comfort others with the comfort he has comforted us with. So when you will allow Jesus to be an anchor for you, focus on the full life of that person, not how they died, but think about their whole life. But more than that, think about the people around you who you can still do something about, who you can still bring hope to. And if you will just feel that sense of comfort in your own soul, you will become qualified in a horrible way to become qualified, an expensive credential. But you will have what I call crudentials, pardon me, but it is the worst stuff that ever happened to you in your life is what will allow you an open door into the lives of many other people. They will listen to you about your Jesus because of what you've been through. Please don't go through this. without this Savior Jesus, if you have never opened your heart to him, the man who loved you enough to die for you is powerful enough to walk out of his grave under his own power so he could walk into your life. Let him into your life today, and you will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death or never walk another day alone.
Ron Hutchcraft, needed words for some broken times. Really appreciate you joining us this morning. Give us just your Facebook page where we can go about the Global Warriors Conference as we head to break.
Sure, yeah. Well, you can, you could go to Hope for Native America. That's also a website, and you can go to our Hutchcraft.com, my last name, and find the blog there about why it's better to be living than leaving. Hutchcraft, if you just think of the art of making rabbit houses, Hutchcraft.com, and you'll find a lot of good stuff there.
Ron, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to head to Breakpoint with John Stone Street and a review of the masterpiece Cake Saga in the Supreme Court. Appreciate the time. When we come back at the second half of our hour, we'll be joined by Dr. David Aikman, our foreign affairs correspondent. Matt, I have another birthday of note this morning. We have Emmy Award-winning actress Carol Kane, 66 years old. You may know her from the classic The Princess Bride, where she played the wife of Billy Crystal character Valerie, and the classic line when Billy Crystal says, "Get back, witch." And she said, "I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore." So 66 years old of Carol Kane. She also recently provided the voice for Sheep in Kung Fu Panda, which made me think, what does the audition look like for that particular job? Let's head to the news. And when we come back for the second half of our hour, we'll be joined by Dr. David Aikman and talk foreign affairs. He's making diamonds. If you have teenagers like me, we got a quick minute word here on parenting today's teenagers.
Kids require correction. From their toddler years to their teenage years, they need guidance and discipline. Hi, I'm Mark Grayston with Parenting Today's Teens. For the most part, I meet parents who have discipline down pat. They know how to instruct, but where they fall short is the relationship. They tend to mistake arguments for conversation and living under the same roof for spending quality time together. But without having a deep and lasting connection with your teen, before the need of discipline arises, you'll find your eloquent lectures entirely ineffective. If your relationship with your son or daughter is broken or damaged, take time to repair it. Your pearls of wisdom can only be received when it comes from a foundation of a healthy relationship.
There's much more encouragement for parents from Mark Grayston online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
And that, of course, is the sound of our foreign affairs correspondent, Dr. David Aikman, joining us each week here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and love to chat with Dr. Aikman just around some of the affairs around the world. And Dr. Aikman, I understand you used to be the senior foreign correspondent for Time magazine. I'd be curious what you've seen in sort of the shift of the news cycles when we are more of a magazine driven society as opposed to now 24/7 news.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, Time tried to redesign itself in the early 90s as a magazine that would look forward to the coming week, as opposed to putting together the concise narrative for the previous week. And At the time, I thought that was a foolish decision, because people do need to have a sequential, succinct explanation of what happened in the previous 7 days. Sometimes these issues are very complicated, and you need to have all the attention you can get in order to understand them.
And do you think news has suffered because we're sort of always having to react as opposed to dig deeply into these things?
Oh, I do. I think the news has suffered dreadfully. And actually, people like Dan Rather, as early as the 1990s, were complaining that overseas bureaus were of major news organizations, of course, including his own, CBS, were being deprived of reporters who could give a balanced and seasoned explanation for what was going on. So I think we have a less educated, a less seasoned press corps that is trying to explain all this stuff as it explodes in front of us, and it's not very satisfactory.
Yeah, it's a part of what I appreciate about your presence on the show. We have a little time to get into some of these headlines, and there's lots to get into, of course, especially on a Monday morning, given events of this weekend. I'd love to start. We've been talking a little bit about immigration here in the United States, but this is not just a United States issue. This has been a big thing going on in Europe and in a variety of locations. And some of the headlines were that a migrant boat was turned away by Italy. It arrives in Spain. Kind of talk us through a little bit of what's happening down in that neck of the woods relative to immigration.
Well, the Aquarius was a boat loaded with about 630 passengers that departed from Libya and was turned away from Malta and Italy by the Maltese and the Italian governments, respectively, and finally was allowed to sort of land its passengers in Spain. But the general upshot of the whole thing is that no government in Europe is sympathetic to open doors such as Angela Merkel sort of decreed for Germany and encouraged the rest of Europe to follow through on 2 or 3 years ago. So although there hasn't been quite as much immigration in recent years, the last 2 years, as previously, Europeans are really just not very patient with people who are coming in over the borders in large numbers.
And is that how does a country balance the humanitarian and understandable hospitality need of people in need with the fact that some of these European economies are really struggling and they don't actually have the resources to help provide the humanitarian need that they might want to?
Well, not only that, but migration itself is a cultural issue that has really strained the fiber of European society, because so many of the migrants come from mostly Islamic cultures, which have a very different view of how the newcomers integrate with the existing society. And of course, you have to remember that one chief reason for the British to vote for Brexit back in 2016 was the immigration chaos that they thought had been imposed upon them by the EU against their own wishes.
And that immigration piece of it, as you mentioned in the Brexit conversation, there was this kind of tension back and forth for people saying, we want to preserve what is distinctively English historically, but we also recognize that we need influx of immigrants and just try to manage this whole situation. And it sounds like some places in Ireland now trying to figure out what a border might look like if part of Ireland or Ireland proper stays within the EU and Northern Ireland breaks through. How are they handling that part of the border security there?
Well, actually, the whole Irish border system is a big headache for the Irish government and, of course, for the United Kingdom government too, because under the existing system, there are no border controls at all. It's a completely soft border, and when you're traveling north in the Republic of Ireland, the only way you know you're actually entering Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, is when the road signs start changing to miles as opposed to kilometers. Mm. And if you're listening to the radio, you'll hear news of what's going on in Northern Ireland and the UK, and you'll realize you're in a different world. Nobody wants to see a return to the hard border that existed between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic, particularly when you think back to the time of the Troubles in the 1960s, when there was so much tension in communities in Northern Ireland between the Catholics and the Protestants, and the Irish Republican nationalists were really waving sort of very hostile flags at their British neighbors. So everybody wants to try and avoid a hard border system in Northern Ireland, but it remains a really difficult issue to resolve, because if you don't have a hard border, what system do you have for making sure that EU goods are then transported into UK territory with all the necessary tariffs and so forth in place? How do you organize that? And this is one of the ongoing arguments that has turned the whole Brexit negotiation between the government of Theresa May and the European Union into a really sort of clumsy kind of back and forth of sort of hostile points of view. And it's really threatened the stability of the British government as well. So we watch that with, well, depending on your degree of interest in British politics, but you watch it with quite a lot of concern, I think.
Be interesting to see the headlines coming out of Downing Street in the months ahead. We're talking with Dr. David Aikman, our foreign affairs correspondent. When we come back, we'll transition the conversation to tariffs and whether or not we can expect our Christmas presents this year to become slightly more expensive. More in a minute. Twelve minutes before the top of the hour, this is Faith Radio Mornings, and I am your interim host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and we're joined by Dr. David Aikman this morning to talk all things foreign affairs. And just this last Friday, Dr. Aikman, we saw what I think some people were surprised that figuring it was mostly bluster from the American president around leveling tariffs on China as a way, in his mind, of leveling the playing field economically. But sure enough, $34 billion in goods are now going to be subject to a 25% increase. What happens from here economically, even for America and for China?
Well, it's the Chinese and the American economies both need each other. I mean, China needs the American market for what it produces. America needs Chinese imports to keep living standards, cost of living down, which indeed Chinese imports do. But I think at some point, somebody has drawn a line, in this case, President Trump, over the incredible size of the balance of payments difference between what China imports from the United States and what America imports from China. I mean, the gap between these two different statistics is absolutely huge. And I think the Chinese realize that President Trump is really quite serious about needing to bring it down in order not just to make conditions a bit more acceptable for American workers and to balance the American economy somewhat, but because it just leaves a very sour taste in the mouths of so many Americans.
But Father's Day yesterday for us and our family, we finally bit the bullet and bought a Nintendo Switch. Can I expect that the prices of things like Nintendo Switches or other goods in our country will go up between now and Christmas? Are we going to see the inflation passed along to the average consumer?
Yes, I think we will see a rise in consumer prices, especially on inexpensive imports from China in sort of high-tech consumer areas. I think that's inevitable because that's the area which President Trump wants to limit the imports on, which is, you know, affecting consumer demand. So I think we're going to see an increase in prices, not to mention an increase in prices when Europe really starts reacting to the steel price tariffs that President Trump has introduced and imposed on Canadian and European steel and indeed dairy imports. So I don't think it's quite going to be a trade war because neither side wants a trade war, and I don't think President Trump wants to deal with that. But there has to be sort of some, I mean, from the American perspective, the administration really has to put its heels in the ground and say, you've just got to stop taking advantage of the soft approach we have given to imports from Europe in virtually every domain of life, then you've got to understand why we need to stand up against this. And I think it will be resolved, but I think there's going to be a lot of sort of bad taste, a bad smell in the air until it's completely brought into sort of equanimity.
And does resolution, I don't even know from a historical precedent standpoint, does resolution look like the ending of tariffs, or can we expect this to be part of the policy and negotiation moving forward? Do we see this as a long-term approach?
Well, I think President Trump is definitely moving towards tariffs, arguing actually correctly from a historical point of view that at key periods in American history when the economy was actually growing quite strongly, tariffs were an essential part of that. And it's only been really since in the last few decades that American administrations, both of GOP and Democratic origin, have tended to try to reduce tariffs and argued that world trade was now an equal playing field for everybody, although that's clearly not been the case.
Talking with Dr. David Aikman. Dr. Aikman, we have just a couple of minutes left here. In transitioning just to the Middle East, and I confess I don't know a lot about intelligence operations in the Middle East, but one of the headlines that came out this weekend was that the United Arab Emirates official rejected the request of the United States for intelligence support in some kind of operation in Yemen. Can you walk us through what's happening here? Is this a break in the relationship of some kind?
Well, the United States is in a very difficult position because it's allied to the government of Saudi Arabia and some of the Gulf states, including the UAE, in their operations to try and remove the Houthi presence in Yemen. And to that extent, they're on the side of the Gulf state countries that are opposing the Houthis and the Iranian influence in Yemen. But on the other hand, they're up against considerable, the United States is up against considerable internal opposition to what is going on in Yemen, which seems to be a sort of unlimited crackdown on the Houthi presence in a way that really harms civilian populations in the pathway of this Saudi juggernaut. So it's not surprising that the UAE is coming up with objections to sharing intelligence with the United States.
And along with that, we see some always simmering tensions between Israel and Iran. Give us a quick update of what's happening between those two countries.
Well, actually, one of the more positive signs is it looks as though Israel is quite possibly fairly soon going to be exchanging diplomatic relations with the government of Saudi Arabia, and perhaps will open diplomatic relations with Bahrain and with the UAE, because these Sunni Orthodox Islamic states really are much more concerned about the presence of Iran in the Gulf region and the Middle East than they are about their sort of ultra-Orthodox Islamic opposition to a Jewish state in Israel. So I think we're going to see some major changes on the diplomatic front.
That voice you hear is, of course, the voice of Dr. David Aikman. Dr. Aikman, as always, thank you for joining us, kind of wake up to these headlines, helping us sort through what's happening in the world.
Thank you very much, Peter.
We'll talk to you next week. We'll take a short break and wrap up our show this morning. God Just a couple minutes before the top of the hour, it's Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and joined in studio on the board by Matt Reynolds. And we're outside of the Minneapolis area where it was about 100 degrees this weekend. And Matt, you had that wonderful experience of having the air conditioner go out this weekend, right?
Doesn't that sound about perfect? I mean, the hottest day we've had in I don't know, who knows how long with that humidity.
Yeah, it was stifling yesterday.
About 2 o'clock, all of a sudden things started getting a little warm in the house.
And it's always on the weekend that you get 100-degree weather, and it's always on the weekend that that everything breaks down, so that you end up having to pay some exorbitant $199 service call, even for somebody to come out and pay attention to you at all.
Oh, and, you know, it was about 83 degrees in the house with all that humidity last night at 10 o'clock.
Now, you may as well just have moved to Panama for the day on that. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll look forward to hearing you from you tomorrow and talking through the events of the day. And remember, as always, that tomb is empty. There is good news in the beautiful kingdom of Jesus, where there's always hope and future.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.